4 Oscar nominees, read this script and said, yeah, let's do this. This is The Exorcist 2, The Heretic on Stinker Madness.
What's that smell?
I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty as fuck. Thirsty, thirsty, thirsty as fuck.
Hey, look at me!
Thrill me.
If you come back in here, I'm gonna hit you with so many rights, you're gonna beg for a left.
Thrill me.
Beg for a left.
Thrill me.
Hey, look at me!
No!
Stinks.
Hang on!
Get to the chopper!
Stinker Madness.
Hello, and welcome to Stinker Madness. It's week 2 of Spooktober. Woo! Sam spooked. Jackie spooked.
I haven't been spooked
I
yet.
I've got spook poop in my pants.
That doesn't even make sense.
I'm spook pooped.
You're so scared you pooped.
Right, yeah, spooky poop.
I can't imagine it's from this movie or the one we watched the week before.
How are you talking about, man? These are fright fests. Like, the very definition of being scared.
I guess the Midnight Man is very scary.
It was scary, especially when it blew up that kid.
Yeah, right. No, it wasn't. We followed the Midnight Man, which sucked, with another movie. That sucks.
That sucks.
Yeah, Spooktober is going really poorly so far.
We haven't been scared yet.
No, we're never scared during Spooktober, Sam. These are shitty horror movies. But there's shitty horror movies that are fun, and then there's shitty horror movies. And
the scariest part of this movie was, is she 18? Should we be seeing those boobs? And the answer is yes, she was 18.
And yes, we should be seeing those boobs.
That's not true.
It's a double yes.
The scariest part of this movie was when we had to pause it for a second so that Jackie could refill her water. And I realized there was still an hour of the movie left. Yeah. It was horrifying.
That was frightening.
I didn't know. I mean, the terror was real.
It's there, and it gave me spook poops, literally. Exorcist 2 from 1977, starring Linda Blair, of course. Her second or third episode? Did we do another one besides?
I think we've done a lot of do's and don'ts, but we only did one the one episode. It's our second John Borman episode as well.
What was the other John Borman
Zardoz
movie? Zardoz. Okay, there we go. Zardoz is a much better movie. We got Richard Burton.
That's his first appearance, I believe.
Probably his last.
Ned Beatty was only there for like 10 minutes.
Was Ned Beatty ever nominated? Then that would be 5.
I think he was nominated.
For Deliverance?
Sure.
Or
I don't know.
Or the Superman movies.
Ned Beatty's been in a lot of stuff, though. I mean, he could have...
Prolific.
Yeah.
Max Van Sydow's back. And then Nurse Ratched, whose name escapes me because I only know her as Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I've already forgotten.
Gloria
Esther Bond. She sings like an angel.
Esther Bond.
Louise Fletcher. And okay. Kitty Wynn is back from the original.
Oh, okay. Jackie and I had already seen this movie one time. Jackie, why did I choose this?
I think you forgot about this movie because it is quite forgettable.
It is extremely.
And I think it's just payback for the Midnight Man. Yeah. It's just like, fuck you. I listened to your shit last week. You have to listen to mine today.
Yeah, to punish you, I have to punish myself. I might have hated this movie more than anybody in this room, so I don't know.
Because you picked it. No, when you pull the trigger on a turd like this, you feel bad the whole time.
Yeah.
And you're just like hoping like, well, maybe it's just going to go off the rails and something awesome's going to happen. But this thing was like 3 minutes under 2 hours, so you knew... Yeah. At the 1 hour mark, that there wasn't anything that was going to save the last hour that we just lost.
I might have been able to go from, if it was an hour and a half, I might have been able to save a couple stars. Like, I might have been able to get to 4 stars on this piece of shit. Because it's 2 hours, I could not save any. Like, there's a couple things that happen here and there, but boy, 2 hours, really? Fuck you.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, the music was also great.
Man. Was it?
That's gonna come in through somebody's car speakers really nice.
Yeah, they're gonna.
Yeah, those are the 3 songs that they play repeatedly throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. Cause 3 car accidents.
Yeah, right. Your Bluetooth stereo in your car has been possessed by Jackie.
You are so lucky. You are so lucky, listener.
How are the costumes, Jax?
They were so stupid.
Yeah.
My favorite costume was her, I want to say it was like a crushed velvet pant scorch suit at the end. And I was like, yeah, because everybody should own one of those to walk around your house in.
It was a velour day dress that had like a warm-up jacket that matched it.
Yeah. Right.
I did like her handkerchief dress. When she's sitting in the chair and they first do the mind meld thing. Mm-hmm. Or no, that would have been the second time. That dress was really pretty. And the white one where she looked like she was going to marry somebody, that was like, who wears that?
Yeah, she was going to marry one of the youngest Engels children. Yeah. There was a young boy in there. Wasn't there like Charles Engels Jr. or something like
Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. We can debate the adventures of Little House forever.
But she looked like she's getting married on Little House one of the scenes.
You know, it's Linda Blair. I think those are probably her clothes.
See,
they were pretty, but it was like, ew.
I actually thought that the costumes were extravagant. The sets were amazing. The photography was fantastic. None of it fit together, though. It was like putting a bunch of crap that has no business being with each other together. And one thing was like trying to make a breakfast sandwich out of prime rib and a croissant or something. It's like, they don't work together.
Prime rib and taco.
Yeah, it was like a prime rib taco.
Except for, I am going to never see eye to eye with you on this film. I thought it looked like garbage. I thought that the prime rib that you're talking about was like baloney. Like old baloney.
The rear projection doesn't work, but the future city thing, that's like,
just some office. It was just some office building.
It wasn't some office. They built everything.
They didn't build the Warner Brothers backlot. That's for goddamn sure.
Well, they built the rest of it on the Warner Brothers backlot. Yeah.
My favorite was that they thought that all people from Ethiopia were also Muslim.
Yeah, that it was weird. And then like sky cities, like there's like scenes where Bazuzu, the demon, is taking people on a vision quest via the flight of a locust over these places that don't exist. Like you know how like we've got the pueblos and they live in the cliffs, you know, the cliff place, they build those little adobe jobbers that you know.
There are cliffs like this in Ethiopia. I looked it up, but there is no church on top of them.
They're not even cliffs, Sam. They're pillars.
Yeah, it was.
It's like Death Valley
pinnacles
surrounded by mountains. No, this is not a real place.
They have one.
No, they don't. They don't have this place.
It doesn't have a church on top of it. But I looked it up, and they have those geologic structures. The ones in this movie, however, are definitely miniatures.
They have valleys. What's that called when you have like a cliff face and then a hole in the middle of it and there's like a little area underneath it that's all flat and then pillars that shoot up 300 feet in the fucking air, like 20 of them. I don't think so, buddy.
I'm just gonna say that I would not go to this place because I highly doubt that indoor plumbing or sanitation is high priority there. It probably smells terrible.
I mean, here's the thing: what's low priority is not falling to your death. So pooping and peeing are probably going to fall below not falling to your death, and that's pretty low priority already. So
what do they do with the dead people? Just throw them over the side when they're like, oh, he's definitely dead. Push him, Frank.
Well, we know because the only person that we see who... That is not the same. That is not the same.
But they have places like that.
Let me see.
That just looks like Monument Valley.
But it's in Ethiopia, and you said they don't have that there.
That are 300 feet tall...
We're gonna have to post the picture now.
Yeah, it's just those are just rock faces that are like 40 feet tall. These are like
that looks bigger than anything.
Skyscrapers.
The picture I just looked at in Ethiopia looks taller than anything in Monument Valley.
They're like 30 feet in Monument Valley. They're not that big. It's unrealistic. I'm not again. This movie looks like shit. You will never change my mind ever. It looks like fucking hell.
Da, 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 da,
you da, have been possessed by da, 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 Bazuzu, the film critic.
I don't think
better than he's making it out to be.
It does look better than you're making it out to
be. Hold him down. We're going to have to exercise him.
There is a bunch of things that don't fit together, but there is some decent photography here and there in this movie.
I disagree.
There, like, you can't say there isn't good photography.
There is.
A helicopter with a camera attached to it, and then they super transpose a fucking bug in front of it.
Yeah, that looks bad.
It looks like shit.
Not everything is that.
The bug is in, like, super crisp focus, and then everything around it is in a softer focus because it's different cameras, which means it looks like shit.
The bug thing is matted poorly, if we want to analyze that. Uh-huh. It has pink edges because of how poorly it's matted, and it's shot projection over footage that looks orange because the screen was the wrong color.
Right!
That looks bad. Decent photography, however, in the film. It just wasn't that. That part was real bad.
All right, let's move on. The acting stinks. All four of them.
I just can't imagine that you should even classify this as being acting.
Yeah, that's wow. Nurse Ratched is arguably the most monotone actor, and she's monotone when she's Nurse Ratched. That's the horror of Nurse Ratched, is because she's monotone. It means she's uncaring. But in this film, she's like super caring. All of her dialogue is like, oh, we've got to do all this stuff for Reagan and keep her happy and safe and find out what's wrong with her. But it's told as in, we have to keep Reagan safe and happy and find out what's wrong with her.
It's compounded by the fact that the production went so horribly awry that when she got into ADR, she had to just be mailing it in.
Yeah, that probably too.
Because you can tell sometimes that she's on screen kind of trying. Kind of.
Right.
But she's in the booth going, I can still match the lips, even though I'm just going to talk like this, because I want to be done with this so fucking bad.
Which, in her voice, would be, I want to be done with this so fucking bad. Richard Burton is at about a 12. Probably needed him at about an 8.
Oh, by the end of the movie, he's at like a 3.5.
Yeah, he takes a pretty steep nosedive at the end.
He just kind of got tired of acting. He was like, okay, whatever.
Saito has a look on his face like, why did I pick up the phone? Like, what am I doing here? What is this character? I am dead from the first. I don't know what this is. And then Linda Blair is just Linda Blair.
Yeah. Ned Beatty is, he's
good.
It's because he's only in two scenes.
Two?
Yeah, there's the scene in the plane and the scene not in the plane.
The scene where he shows up and then the scene immediately after it.
Yeah, and that's it. And then he's gone and you're he's like, bye,
it's
Ned
about
Beatty.
5 minutes of Ned Beatty at most. Sam, what's the deets on this fucking move?
Care to venture a guess on the cost of this film in
1977? Let's see here. We got 5 Oscar-nominated actors, a lot of production design.
Had to build everything.
Including, except for that office building that was just an office building.
I'm going to go $20 million.
In 77, no way.
Which is the office building?
The Psycho Lab.
It's the
future building.
It has magic doors, and it is like a curio.
That say, watch your step. No, I think that this is just like some fucking...
No, that's built. There's no Lloyd, place like that.
Lloyd Kaufman. What's that guy's name? Andrew Lloyd Webber. No, that's not him.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's office? Maybe. I'll buy that.
The architect guy. What the fuck is his name?
Frank Lloyd Wright?
Frank Lloyd Wright. No. One of his jobbers.
No, this is built.
It's just a 77 bullshit place.
They built this. They had to. Because they do the magic window glass thing where she can gray out everyone. That doesn't really work. They just turn the lights off on the ceiling and the floor in all the other
they had to build it because they couldn't just put lights in they built that skyscraper where they transitioned from out exterior with the camera to interior with the camera. They built that skyscraper just so they could get that one shot. They didn't
build that, but they definitely built the one set.
They had to turn the lights down,
and don't forget that they also had to build gigantic nuts.
Those were definitely part of the set. Yeah, no.
And they had a red one and they had a gray one, and they just used them every time that they were in there. Like, okay, Billy, roll in the nut.
Again, I don't see eye to eye with Sam on this one, so we're going to move on.
Do you have a best guess about how much this cost?
That's what we're trying to get at.
I already said $20
million. It's way too much. Star Wars didn't even cost that much.
Star Wars was junk heap.
13.
14.
14.
Oh, I was way over. Price is Right Rules.
Price is Right Rules? That's me.
So, do you know how much the original one cost, though, in 73?
God, probably three.
12.
12.
It was expensive.
That's surprising for makeup? I mean, what else was there,
There's
really?
A lot of stuff. I mean, they had to, they rebuilt the house, because the house is real in the first one, but they had to do all the stuff where they could put her on the roof.
Right, right. Yeah, that's
true. There was rotating sets and all sorts of expensive things for the first
one. Very Elm Street-esque.
Yeah, the first one is not a sort of budget horror movie. It costs some cash.
Yeah, okay.
It's a lot better, though.
Yeah, boy, it is.
The script had to be rewritten on site.
Wait, hold on. The script was written?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding? Because it sure doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, so the script has to get rewritten on site about six times. The only credited writer, even though there was five versions, is Roscoe Pallenberg, who actually had to take over directing for a good chunk of the production.
Could you try his first name one more time for me?
Rospo.
Rospo.
It's R-O-S-P-O.
Okay. Rospo. I'm Rospo Bergman. What?
Pallenberg. Rospo Pallenberg.
Rospo Pallenberg. That's insane.
It's an awesome name.
It is fantastic.
It might be someone else that just decided to write that down after he saw this movie. Who's to say?
Rospo Pallenberg.
But
Dr. Rosen?
Borman had gotten what's called the Silicon Valley Fever, which is apparently a horrible, horrible disease. It's got like flesh-eating components. You can get pneumonia from it. It's just real bad, and I guess it doesn't go away. It's a fungus.
I thought that's when you hung out in your garage and then started a multimillion-dollar company. You got the fever. You know?
San Fernando Valley?
No, Silicon Valley. That's where all the rich fuckers, computer jackasses
live. Yeah,
you
got the San Fernando Valley fever. That's a totally different thing.
Oh, okay.
That's a bad thing. Silicon Valley fever's just chlamydia.
Oh, my God.
And coke.
Just get some penicillin. You'll be all right.
A slight nosebleed and sniffles.
Yeah. Anyway, they had to. I mean, we can tell when we watch this that they're just throwing words at the screen sometimes, and that none of it really works together.
None.
This was received so poorly that at the Chicago Film Critics Association preview, some of the producers were at the screening, and 10 minutes into the movie, someone actually stands up, and this is according to William Friedkin, the director of the first one. Someone stands up and goes, "The pieces of shit that made this are in the theater." Like, we can get them and we can kill them.
Like, fucking stone them.
Yeah, like, exactly. So then the lights, because the people running the theater are like, fine, whatever. They turn the lights on, and the producer's like, shit, we got to get out of here. But they were like, oh, this is going to be such a great deal. They had sent the limo drivers out to get food for them for afterwards. And so they ran outside, and they don't have any cars to make their escape. So they were chased through the streets of Chicago by theatergoers.
Oh, my God.
Also, in the Hollywood Theater in L.A., people actually threw shit at the screen. You hear about that happening.
Like,
but
actual shit?
Like, they would throw their shoes and just anything they had.
I was going to say about a bunch of monkeys.
But. Which is, you know, supposedly happens all the time, but it doesn't really. But it happened for this
So one. At the end of that screening, when they have the staff, the cast and crew Q&A session, was the first question, why won't you die?
Why won't you die?
Wow.
That's insane. I have never heard of anything like that.
The chasing the producers through the streets of Chicago is ridiculous.
Like, fucking, get out your pitchforks!
Yeah, and it's also kind of funny because John Borman realized that he was like, well, I didn't think... I knew that people were going to be upset because I was giving them completely the opposite of what the first Exorcist was. So he kind of knew, and then when he saw the reactions, he's like... The one thing you absolutely can't do is deliver something that you absolutely know the audience doesn't want, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
And that's a real mistake. And he recognized that, even though he said that he and Scorsese both are like, well, I still really like the film for what it is in A Catholic Journey. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I don't think it does that either.
It tries to say something, but woof, is it mush?
Yeah, and it's... You know, they bring back everybody except for Ellen Burstyn. The mom doesn't come back. Everybody but Ellen Burstyn and the important people. That being, of course, Will Peter Blatty, the writer of the novel and the screenplay.
Yeah.
Well, Will Friedkin, who said that you shouldn't ever make a sequel to this.
Probably would have been a good
idea. Stands on
its own. Yeah.
And Mike Oldfield.
Who's Mike Oldfield?
The greatest, the most creepy fucking synth track ever. Like, that made me.
Praise, man. You got Carpenter out there. John Carpenter.
Sure. It's his stuff is awesome, but like, that original soundtrack to The Exorcist is creepy.
You think it's better than the theme to the Golden Shamrock commercials?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I do.
See our Halloween 3 episode.
I had never even seen The Exorcist, you know, as a child, and I heard that song, and I was like, it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up the first time I heard it. And then I watched the movie, and I was not happy.
Yeah, it's widely hailed.
You shouldn't watch that until you're like 30.
Yeah.
I don't know. But okay. You shouldn't watch it when you're 12.
Probably not.
Yeah. That's when I watched it. It was a bad idea.
Mommy, are you possessed? My
mom was like, why the fuck did you do that? Are you fucking crazy? She's like, I watched that when I was 26 and it gave me nightmares for 2 weeks.
Jackie, what age were you when you saw The Exorcist?
I saw The Exorcist with you guys.
That was the first time you'd ever seen the first Exorcist. Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? I'm very surprised by that.
So I was in my mid-30s.
Good job. Yeah. Good job. That's when you want to, it won't fuck you up.
Yeah, I was
16. Yeah, it didn't fuck me up, but it sure was like, oh my God. Like, even for the 70s, how could people just not watch this at the theater and go, oh my God, I don't think I'm ever going to be the same again.
It's one of three movies in history that has ever given me the willies. Like, movies just don't scare me because I can differentiate between reality and fiction, unlike the president.
The first
it's one of three.
Is,
yeah.
Is especially if you're, you know, still young and impressionable, can really fuck with you.
Yeah. Anything else, Sammy?
Nothing that's of real consequence that I can't mention as we go through.
All right, let's do this. I'm tired of it already. As I say, we're going to jump around a little bit just to get the main themes and some of the sexier scenes to this because it is 2 hours long. But basically, we start off with getting introduced to Richard Burton's character. He's Father Lamont, who is basically, I think he's got the same job in the Catholic priesthood as Max von Sydow's character does. He's just a wandering exorcist.
Yeah.
Okay. He's called into a Spanish village where they've got a lady who's quite possessed by, I'm guessing, Pazuzu, but we're not told that.
Well, we don't know who Pazuzu is.
Right. Yet. I guess. Well, he's the same demon from Exorcist 1, right?
They make it that way in this one, but you don't really get a name in the first one. It's just
I thought it was the fucking devil.
I thought it was Satan.
Yeah, like the top of the food chain, baby. Not his fucking the assistant vice president of HR in hell.
This isn't even
the fuck are you, Pazuzu?
This isn't even Pazuzu. Isn't even like Satan's idiot cousin Rick.
It's
like Rick's one of his like college roommates.
Yeah, like they Rick.
Yeah, no, I have a good authority that Satan has an idiot cousin named Rick.
So Rick has a daughter, and she met this dumb shit named Pazuzu, and they're going to get married. So it's like the way to bring Pazuzu into the family. We're going to throw you a fucking Joe job and just go possess who fucking ever.
Yeah, he's got a Joe job because he was on the crew team.
Yeah. Oh, you're upper management, all right. Who the fuck is this Pazuzu guy? Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, I know. I saw the spreadsheets you had on those grasshoppers. It's great work. Did you see this dickhead wants to use grasshoppers to scare people?
Yeah, wait. You know, it's funny because the other team, they used locusts one time, and it, you know, we shouldn't be doing what they're doing, right? I mean, like, are we just following their playbook? What? Oh, next we're going to put a kid on Earth and call him the Antichrist? Yeah. That's fucking clever. Hey. No, that's actually what we're doing. Jesus, hell is dumb.
Yep.
Thanks all a right. lot, Rick.
Look, we're going to have to check to the frogs. We ran out of the grasshoppers again.
They did that too. Yeah, the other team. Frogs, yeah. Murdering firstborns? Yeah, the other team did that one already. I got it, guys. Roseanne Barr. Boom shakalaka.
There's also which I think even in hell they would think it would go too far to take away everyone's birthday.
Oh, that's mean. God, what a jerk, Pazuzu. All right, so anyways, so there's a Spanish lady, and she's possessed by Pazuzu or whoever, and he comes in there, he's like, oh, I'm going to do my thing, but she's like, not if I can help a motherfucker, because I'm knocking all these candles down, and I'm lighting this place on fire.
Yeah.
And she's like, why me?
Why? So, because the shitty thing about these, like, this type of filmmaking is you can't tell who's talking. Like, it's easy in Exorcist 1 because, well, Reagan gets all grody face and pukes on people's faces and stuff.
Yeah.
But why me? Is the demon saying that? Or is the possessed lady saying that? And if the possessed lady's saying that, what was the demon doing while she's saying that?
I think
that
taking a pee.
Yeah.
Well, he hits her with some holy water right before she says that. So shakes her loose for a little bit. She's like, oh, crap, I'm going to die. You did a shitty job.
It's a demon suppressant.
So that's, what I think, what the holy water spray does.
It's like drug spray.
Bug spray. Not drug spray.
Yes, please. Just take some Lysol and spray it right in my mouth.
They have that. It's called paint.
You just, or Lysol.
You just spray it all. You inhale it, you know? Oh, right, yeah, you can get high on Lysol, too, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't. Gross. It's just the people would, like, drain it, the alcohol out of it somehow. Like, that was cheaper than just getting fucking vodka.
I thought just aerosol got you high.
You can do that too. Yeah. Whippets.
Yeah, right. There you go. So she lights herself on fire. She goes up pretty nice.
Nobody tries to stop her.
Not really.
She just sort of like breaks free and they're like, oh shit, she's headed for the candles. We'll never stop her now.
Everybody run.
Yeah, and it's
they don't even run. They just watch her burn herself.
It's not the building that's on fire that causes her to be engulfed by flames. She's got like three candles that she's standing on top of, which catches her dress on fire, and then eventually that causes her to go up. There's plenty of time to like dive tackle her and stamp the fire out, right? You know, dive, drop and roll type shit.
You just do what I do. Just take her shirt off and it's on fire and she's not. Plus the other good stuff happens. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on,
starting
fire.
Starting your own fire.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the only fire left is in my pants.
Yeah. Okay. That's weird. Yeah. She's possessed by Pazuzu.
Well, that's, I guess,
it, sort of related to Satan.
That is a bit of a turnoff.
Yeah. All right. So we get cut back to Regan. She's now a fully blossomed and chesty woman. And she is living at it kind of seems like this place is underground, too. Like, it's not in, like, a skyscraper because there's no windows.
They show a cutaway where they leave and it's like in the basement of a hospital or something.
Yeah, right. It's underground. It's a psycho lab.
She doesn't live there.
Well, she's...
She lives in a high rise.
She's spending a lot of time there.
Well, that's because that's where her therapist is.
She's being observed at the psycho lab. How's that, Jackie?
Fine.
Okay. By Nurse Ratched, who's like the administration or the doctor of whatever this place does. Like experimental psychoanalysis.
It seems to take a lot of kids with Down syndrome and try to make them smarter.
Yeah. There's kids that have the Downs there. But then there's kids that are just possessed by demons.
Most of the kids seem like they've got learning disabilities, and then Reagan's there for some reason.
Yeah, so where does she get admitted? Like, oh, hi, about 12 years ago, I was possessed by the demon devil, I don't know, but then he got kicked out of my body? Should I be here? And they're like, yeah, we're equipped to deal with whatever that was that now sounds like it's all wrapped up.
Yeah, they actually, she said that, they're like, no. Then they saw her tap dance. They're like, you need to come this way.
Well, we need... Hello.
Oh, no.
Bring in the white coats.
The dancing is not good in this movie.
The song...
None of those kids were any good.
The song that she was tap dancing to when they came and got her was, "They're Coming to Take Me Away." Ooh. You guys never heard, "They're Coming to Take Me Away."
Yeah, I know, but you can't tap dance to it.
Sure you can.
Tap dance to anything. Nope.
It all looks the same. It sucks. Which is worse, miming or tap dancing?
Miming.
Could you imagine a tap dancing mime?
Mm.
No, that would be awful.
They'd have to be quiet. Like, they'd have to pretend to be tap dancing, which would be hell on earth.
That'd be awesome.
No, it wouldn't. All right, so Father Lamont goes in to see his boss, which is like, I guess, the bishop.
He's a real dickhead. He's the cardinal, actually. Okay, it says the cardinal. That. It right. says that on the screen, like, Cardinal so-and-so, because I guess he was in the first one, too.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Isn't that, aren't there only, like, a handful of cardinals? Like, that's pretty high up.
I think if you... Yeah, the cardinal's, like, the guy in charge of the Catholic Church for the whole country, I think.
He's, like, on the other team would be the guy that assigns Rick to whatever office he's got within hell.
I think the Catholic Church has a bunch of Ricks.
Yeah, I betcha. Hi, I'm Rick.
Hey, I'm Rick.
Oh, God.
What do we do with him? We've put him in that corner office for 12 years, and we still can't keep him in there. He just keeps walking out and doing stuff.
We definitely don't let him near children.
Oh, I don't think he's that kind of a Rick.
Oh, okay. He's good, then.
He's just not bad.
All right, so he goes to him and is like, yeah, I went to Spain or Mexico. I don't know. They didn't really explain where I was, but it got pretty weird and I failed miserably. But what's up next? And the guy's like, well, there's a heretic. So you got to go check it out. And we think it's Linda Blair.
No, wait.
A subterranean psycho lab. So do all that.
This guy is not a cardinal.
Okay.
He's the Pope.
No, he's not the Pope.
He is dressed like the Pope, and then they're standing there having the conversation.
Oh, Jesus.
And they take off all of his robes and everything, and then he's got his cardinal's outfit on.
You know less about the Catholic religion than I do.
He is the Pope.
It says the cardinal on screen.
It does say that, and you're implying that the Pope is the only one that gets to dress silly.
Yeah, get to dress silly.
Yeah, have you ever seen the Emperor's throne room where there's all those other guys dressed in red, and they all look like silly guys, too? That's the whole thing. There's the Pope at the top, and then underneath him, I'm assuming the cardinals, and then there's like the Grand Cardinal. That was Pete Rose, right? And
Pete Rose plays for the Reds.
Whatever.
Ozzie Smith played for the Cardinals.
There we
that
go.
Son of a bitch was a hell of a shortstop.
Yeah, I knew I could fit in a baseball joke someplace. And then
what does it say, Sam?
There's like bishops.
It says he's the cardinal.
Yeah, dude.
I thought he was the Pope.
Because he has a silly hat?
No, he didn't. The Pope has a much bigger hat.
Much bigger hat and a car.
Inside the building?
Yeah. The Pope mobile goes where the Pope goes.
Which is no one knows right now. Yeah, that son of a bitch is still out on the lam.
You know, I know where he is. That fucking Duke Mitchell got him. Shout out to our Gone with the Pope reference.
Yeah, he's out there fishing. Yep. Having a good time.
I found your necklace. Oh, God damn it, Pope. You are just the greatest.
Thank you, Pope.
Man. I mean, we were going to kill you and all, but dude, you are one cool-ass Pope. The Pope likes a little bit of brandy, too. Yes. You know what, Pope? All right.
I would meet the Pope. I think he'd be awesome.
Gee, you'd meet one of the most influential and famous people that has ever lived? Yeah.
Do you think he'd let me try on his hat?
Nope.
Nope, said the Pope.
That's a Pope nope.
That's a Pope.
Damn.
All right, go. The cardinal says, go do this thing.
Shouldn't try to grab the Pope's nose.
That's dumb.
Okay.
All right. So he goes to the psycho lab and he's like, hi, I'm a priest that does exorcists. She used to be exorcised, so now I'm here. And Nurse Ratched's like, well, that's weird, but you can't talk to her, but you can hang out. We're going to put her on the machine.
Well, she says we can't. She doesn't want to do the machine, so we can't help you. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about? And we're like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Why is he here and why is she here and who are they and what are they doing?
And then
I thought he was investigating the old guy from the original.
Yeah. But the heretic.
Yeah, they thought he was a heretic.
Oh.
And so they're having
Dan Saito's the heretic?
Yeah, they're saying that he was a heretic and that they have to investigate him before they can put all this to rest.
Yeah.
Where did they get that idea? Because
from the Pope that I thought was the Pope.
The cardinal says that he had a heart attack and we need to look into this to make sure he wasn't cooking the books or something.
I mean, what happened to the young priest? What did he fucking say? Like the cardinal comes in and says, hey, I'm in charge of all the exorcist guys. You're new to the team. I understand that. You're like Rick's daughter's husband to be, whatever. What happened with that dead guy? What did he die from? A heart attack. Are you sure he wasn't cooking the books? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, well, I'm pretty sure he was a heretic. He's a devil worshiper.
We should look into this 8 years later.
Yeah. Like, did you ask that guy?
And if he's been dead this whole time, what are they doing? Just keeping his body in the Pope Morgue. And they're like, we'll bury him as soon as we get this figured out.
I believe they call that the Porg. Somebody thought it was funny. It was
super funny. Okay, okay.
Meanwhile, at the Porg, Max Van Sydow, still dead.
The Portician is eating a sandwich.
It's a Pope-tician.
Pope witch. So she gets buckled into the machine because she relents or whatever, according to Jaggy. And the machine is just a fucking strobe light.
It's got some synthesizers hooked to it.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of struggled every time that this machine was on because I'm like, yeah, I could go to sleep right now.
Well, it hypnotizes you. That's, but you're like buckled in like the Matrix, like you get head stuff attached to you and then you get hypnotized and then somebody else gets hypnotized by you and it like opens up your mind and you say, hey, come on into my mind now that you're hypnotized too.
And then, so yeah, you both get, it's a two-way hypnotism where two people get hypnotized and then one person travels in time and then they both go. And sometimes they get to go into other people.
And you can leave your own mind and be like, hang out in my mind, even though I'm not connected to you right now.
Sometimes you get to fly around on a bug.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Seems official.
I personally thought it was great because it did look like some yard materials that they were using. You know, little adjustable straps that you put to hang like pipes or to get your tree to stand straight. Uh-huh. And it's just adjustable, and then it had the two little red knobs that look like thumbtacks.
Yeah, right.
And some wires.
This is not a good prop.
No.
I'm just going to say this is awful.
And a transistor radio, which I kind of thought, we can make one of these, gentlemen.
I thought that Jim Wynorski's soul-stealing machine looked better than this piece of shit.
Yeah, it had punch.
From Swamp Thing, too.
It's got punch.
Yeah.
Bubbles and dry ice and the whole thing. This is just two lights and a guy behind the camera with a Moog.
Yeah. A Moog. Is that
synth.
Is that a Pope thing?
No, it's a synthesizer. Moog.
The Poog. All right, so they get buckled in, Nurse Ratched and Regan, and then Nurse Ratched like goes catatonic, and so Richard Burton's like, oh, get out of that. I'll get in there into her mind that's in your mind, but now you're not strapped up to it because we woke you up, but she's catatonic. So I'm going to go see what's going on in there. And he buckles in, and he's transported into the night of projectile vomit. I guess when Van Sydow died.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had to redo this, though, so they could do like a double exposure effect thing
going
on.
Uh-huh. And they try to rip off the other lady's boob.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they do try to pull Louise Fletcher's boob off in this scene as well.
Because possessed Regan is there in flashback, but also there in the room, sort of.
Yeah.
But then Van Sydow's there inside of Nurse Ratched, too.
Yeah. Why are they inside of her?
Why are they inside of her? And like Richard Burton's like, and Regan's behind Nurse Ratched going like, stop it, me.
Yeah.
Like they're getting in a hand fight over Nurse Ratched's boob.
Over her boob.
Which later they kind of cut in a heart so that it wouldn't be so creepy.
Yeah. It's
like, I'm touching your heart. You're going to die.
Which comes in later like, something, you tear somebody's heart out and I guess they die from it, which
that's apparently that's where they were going with the investigation, was that the demon that was in Reagan that was unnamed before reached into his heart and crushed it.
Oh, I crushed your heart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now you die from it.
Yeah. And it's also the first time that we see that it's not going to be her that's in the makeup.
Right, right, right.
It's not some Blair. Say she refused to do the makeup.
Okay.
Others say that she just couldn't show up on time, so makeup was out of the goddamn question.
Yeah, that's fine.
Why couldn't she show up?
She was having a good time.
Yeah, she's...
Oh.
Yeah.
There was a... She had some dark years there in her early...
Dark? I don't know. You say dark, I say a wild fucking fun ride.
Yeah, wild parties. Wild parties.
Yeah, I mean, this is 77, Jackie. You're built like Linda Blair.
And 18 in New York.
18 in New York, and people are throwing all of the money at you. Hell yeah. Sign me the fuck up. Studio 54, hello.
I guess they clapped one day when she was only 20 minutes late.
Oh my God, not bad. That's rad. Not bad. All right, so later, they get Nurse Ratched out. I guess she fought off the heart, whatever, the heart pulling Omumshidai ritual or whatever.
Yeah, that goes on for fucking ever. Yeah. Nothing happens. Yeah.
But I guess Regan's got faster hands than possessed Regan faster hands?
No, the Richard Burton says something about God, and the demon's like, oh, well, I guess I won't crush his heart.
Oh, okay, well, you know.
He doesn't even say, like, the power of Christ compels you or anything right. like that. He's just like, oh, God.
God damn it! And he's like, oh, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. That's so dumb. Like, honestly, okay, say you're the Catholic version of Satan, and you're thrown out of heaven, and you go down to hell below the earth or whatever, you sure. know, where Bugs Bunny goes to, and you're having a meeting of minds, and you're like, okay, so we all got thrown out of heaven. That sucks pretty bad, because I thought we were having a pretty good time up there, and like we were bros and everything with everybody.
This
and
was the late 70s.
No, the Satan wasn't thrown out of heaven in the late 70s, Jackie.
That was a joke.
Yeah. So you're down there.
He was thrown out of Studio 54.
Correct. Very many times. Those bouncers are tough.
Yeah.
So you're down there and you're like, okay, so what are we going to do, guys? Like, do we just live here and hang out? No, we got to go kick fucking God's ass at some point, even though we know we can't, but we got to do the prophecy, whatever. But then you can't say God. Like, how do you even have a planning meeting like, we want to get revenge against, don't even think his name, or we'll all be sucked into whatever. Like,
use code names.
Yeah. Golden Eagle.
Yeah, that's a good code name for God.
Root beer.
Operation Pop Golden Eagle.
That's so stupid. Yeah.
And so far, all they got is Rick coming up with the birthday thing. Nobody else has got a good plan.
And they're all like, I'm not giving up my birthday. Fuck you, Rick.
Bazuzu's like, fuck it, I'm out of here. I'm going to go possess some people.
I got grasshoppers at least. Yeah. Grasshoppers. The very essence of terror.
Evil, yes. They are evil. If you're, one time they line up on the road during certain springs, like they get, like they breed so much and sure. they get on the road and it's hot, and then you drive your car across them and it's just a slippery, yeah, like you have no traction at all.
You slide off the road. They're because evil. There's too many
Mormon crickets.
Yeah, it's bug guts.
Yeah.
And those things are fucking huge.
Yeah.
But those are more menacing and kind of scary. These are just grasshoppers.
Right. Yeah.
A couple of times they have some locusts on here that are kind of big. You're like, oh, that is locust. But then it goes back to just being grasshoppers.
Yeah. I like how they also had a whole science lab donated or like set up to study these grasshoppers.
Can we get to that when we get to that?
Oh.
Yeah. Jump all the way in.
I think we
jumping
should.
Like a goddamn grasshopper. You trying to scare me or something?
All right, so speaking of the locust, she goes into a trance, dream, whatever, and she starts dreaming about these locusts attacking this village in Africa, and I guess that there was, help me out here, because I think that Bazuzu possessed a boy.
Yes, that's happened. That happens.
Who had the power to be a healer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so therefore the locusts were like, that seems like a nice place to live.
Well, I think at that point he's possessed the boy who then calls the locust while he's possessed.
So Bazuzu calls the locust yes. or the boy calls the locust?
Well, the Bazuzu, using the boy as a vehicle, has called the grasshoppers.
Okay, I see. And the way that I saw this scene was he was the healer and he was right in the middle of healing somebody and all these grasshoppers start coming. So he goes out and he gets two balls on a string and he shakes them about his head. Right. But then he becomes overwhelmed by the grasshoppers and that's when Azuzu attacks him and gets into his body.
Azuzu? Like a trooper?
Yeah.
Bazuzu.
That Azuzu, he's a real trooper.
I know
you don't go too fast around the corners though.
Well, you can't because they don't run.
Love you, amigos. All right. He's a friend of mine anyway.
I don't know. I don't know what the grasshoppers are doing. But yeah, eventually this boy gets possessed by Bazuzu.
Yeah, this is also like the beginning of where you're saying the model miniature Africa, the art director, less is more with all the Africa stuff.
Yeah, right.
Ugh.
Yeah, it looks like shit. And it's all soundstaged and it's dumb. Oh, boy. So during this time, while she's dreaming this, she goes on a sleepwalk out to her balcony because she lives on the 58th floor on a skyscraper in New York that doesn't have railing.
And this is real, though.
It is.
This isn't like a built set. This is a real apartment, and they're like railing half the time.
But maybe they modified the...
I think...
Because otherwise, if it's railing all the way around, she can't almost fall off the building.
I think that some asshole has railing half the time on a fucking...
Okay, so imagine you're the location scout, and they're like, well, she needs to almost fall off a building. Well, all right, I'll find an apartment that has a balcony that has cut-off railing. No, I think that they modified the railing for this purpose.
I would think they rewrote for the location they found would be easier to do.
Either way, it's stupid, because it's like you... No. Nope.
No, the stupidest thing about this location is a chrome birdhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's shiny and immaculate the entire movie. And I'm thinking, who the fuck is out there cleaning up after these doves?
Yeah, it's New York. And I think one thing we know about the pigeons in New York is, well, they spooky poop.
It's not even spooky. It's just poop.
Well, there's
a lot of it.
They poop because they're spooked.
I mean, this place, though, is so nice that you figure they have somebody that cleans that up.
Just bird shit all day long.
Yeah, they probably got to come twice a day.
Yeah, twice a fucking day to clean the shit off the chrome.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be art.
Yeah, right.
It is a very nice birdhouse.
It's dumb.
I would never own one.
Yeah, no. All right, so later, after some other stuff, Richard Burton comes back to the psycho lab and goes into the machine. This time, he sees a vision of Van Saito's character. Or he's there. We're not really sure. Maybe this is happening and Richard Burton's within. I don't know.
3D, D,
yeah,
D,
whatever.
D.
And we learn about the boy. But we also learn that Van Saito was there to study this kid and like took him up to this temple that's in the sky.
I think he took him up to the temple, and he says in the scene when they finally get there that
Bazuzu, king of the spirits of the air.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Which then, that's after this, because he's like, well, if I take you here, Bazuzu can't even get you for here. So he takes him up to this giant temple
in
the sky.
Him.
He's also the spirit of the air, so you'd think he'd be able to go pretty high.
Right?
Grasshoppers can't fly up there. It's too high for them. So he...
But people are fine with it. Whatever.
One of them wasn't. He fell. He fell a long way.
Yeah, to get up to this temple in the sky, you have to do that. I think it's called like a spider... Well, I don't... Maybe I'm thinking Spider-Man, but like a wall walk, essentially, where you push, you know, your back against one wall like a ninja and then, you know, climb... Use the other wall to climb up two walls, right?
You gotta climb like 600 vertical feet to get to this magic...
It's insane.
Christian temple in the cliffs, pinnacles of Ethiopia?
It appears to have, like, people there every day.
Sure.
Like, they just take this route.
Multi-ethnic.
That you die from most. Like, maybe, like, which at least once a day somebody falls to their death on this thing.
They have, like, ropes and pulleys, but nobody's interested in using them. They want to free climb up
right, so
they can fall to their death.
Yes.
Well, that's how you prove that you love God.
Okay, that makes sense.
By gravity. Okay. It is hilarious when this guy dies. I think it's the best part of this movie.
It focuses on it for so, like, it shows him falling so many different times,
uh-huh.
And it looks terrible in every shot.
Because it's not a dummy. It's a guy, but he's held up by fucking ropes.
Yeah.
He's on strings, and he's falling very slowly.
Very slow. This is some of the worst wire work I've ever seen,
like,
in a movie.
What are we thinking he's going? I think he's going like 15 here.
Oh, hell, that would be fast.
Yeah, maybe.
He's going like 4.
it's you really
think, though,
slow.
Like, he face plants into the side of the mountain and then bounces off and face plants again,
uh-huh,
before he gets stuck.
Right. And eventually they toss a dummy down. And it looks pretty crappy. And then he just wedges in between two rocks.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. The only funny part.
Yeah, it is.
It just not because a man died, but because, wow, bad production. So he goes inside. He exercises Pazuzu out of the kid. And then Lamont's like, hey, Pazuzu, so can you show me where this dude is now? What's up with this kid? Is he still doing good? I mean, like, did he make it? Did he go on to college or anything like that? Did he get a scholarship for, you know, being a demon fighter? And Pazuzu's like, well, hop on my bug back, and I'll take you on a bug flight to his house.
Yes, come with me to the Valley of the Wind. Wait, what?
Huh?
So then they fly together to James Earl Jones.
Who James motherfucking Earl Jones.
Growls like a leopard and scares them both off.
Yeah, right. Rawr. And then Bazuzu's like, Jesus!
He's like, oh, shit, that guy's still got his cat.
Leopard powers.
Cats will eat a grasshopper.
Sure.
That'll happen.
He doesn't have a leopard. He growls like a leopard. It's the spirit of the leopard living inside of James Earl Jones.
Only for this shot.
Only for this shot.
Because he's back to being a locust when we see him the next
right.
time.
Right. Ugh.
But yeah. Then, you know, Richard Burton character is like, what is his Coco?
Kukumu.
Kukumu knows how to defeat Pazuzu. So I gotta find him.
Right.
How but do I
Pazuzu's
find him?
Pazuzu's like, well, I'll tell you the whole story about how you can kick my ass. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Not really.
And also, why do you need this guy to deal with Pazuzu when Max Van Saito just sprayed holy water and said, the price of price compels you, and he fucked off. Like, what's the deal?
Well, Pazuzu said, I don't know, man.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell. No, she doesn't.
That wasn't
really Pazuzu. You're right. Okay, I'll shut up now.
Yeah, I'll go over there.
Hey, watch me do what I can do with this lady's head.
Yeah?
That's pretty neat, Pazuzu. How's your Uncle Rick?
It probably is his uncle.
I just don't know why they need James Earl Jones. Like, Kukumu.
Because this whole section was pointless.
It's seriously pointless. The whole plot is pointless.
And it was a long-ass sequence of events to get us to the point where it's like, hey, you only need one grasshopper for change, man.
What?
One grasshopper for change.
We're not even there. We're still not even there, Jackie. There.
I know. We're there now.
No, we're not. No, we are not.
Damn it. One of these days I'm going to get to this part of the movie.
All right. So along the way, we find out that Reagan is also psychic. Like she, or not psychic. What's that? Telepathic.
Sure.
She can talk to handicapped children and kind of help them.
No. So she just talks to this kid and the kid's like, hey, what's up?
Uh-huh.
And then her mom's like, oh my God, he's talking. Oh, or she's talking or whatever.
Look who's talking now.
John Travolta again. I think what happened here is that nobody ever bothered to ask this kid how they were doing.
Hey, how's your day going? Oh my God!
Because there was nothing magical that happened in that sequence.
It doesn't, there's no lips just are like, closed and like that reverby voice comes in through. None of that happens. The kid just talks.
Yeah, and it's dumb. But then Reagan's like, oh, I can help with the other kids. And Dr. whatever her name is like, no.
Sure you can.
Your powers are too dangerous. I'm like, are you a scientist or not? You're not, because here? You've got a fucking lamp that you think has magic time traveling powers.
So Lamont's like, all right, I got to find James Earl Jones. I don't know where to look. I just was on a bug's back. It's not like he had GPS or anything. Google Maps. On, you know, he's a bug.
He had GBS. Global Bug System.
Wow, that one went really well. Yeah, I'm glad you started it before you thought it all
the
way through.
No, I thought it all the way out. Global Bug System works good.
So he's like, how am I going to find him? I know, I'll check the Natural History Museum. And so he goes to the fucking Natural History Museum, and sure as shit, there's a fucking mural with this fucking sky temple on it. He's like, hey, I saw that in my vision. And Reagan, who wasn't invited at all, she's like, I think I'll go for a walk today. Hey, I'll end up at the Natural History Museum. Oh, look, it's also that guy is here. Magic?
Magic.
Yeah. She's a stalker. She wanted to bone down.
I kind of, it's, there is a little bit of,
there's too much of that.
Little undertones there for sure.
Well, they're also, and actually, the doctor too, she's like, don't you ever want a woman?
Yeah.
And then he's just like, yep.
You sure
but
do.
Then that goes away.
Right.
Hey, it would have been better if he would have been like, why are you offering? Dim the lights, baby.
There's so many points in this film where it's like they've got a can of worms. And Rick, again, is like, you know what? I'm going to open up this can of worms. And everybody else is like, no. But Rick has just already opened it. Just like he's got the little can opener and there's a crack. That's all. The can of worms escapes. And then they just chuck the can of worms and forget about
it. There's a lot of things they could deal with here and they don't address
it. Rick almost got the can sort of cracked.
Yeah. He pulled it out of the pantry and put it back.
Yeah. Okay, so now he knows where to go.
Well, he knew where to go.
No, he didn't. GBS is not a thing. He's like, hey, that's in Ethiopia, says this plaque here, so I'll go to fucking Ethiopia.
Well, he goes
find James Earl Jones.
Back to the cardinal.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, my God, science has given us a mind meld time machine.
Uh-huh.
And the cardinal's like, science has no place here. And doesn't realize that that's not scientific at all.
Correct.
But anyway, he forbids him to go to Ethiopia.
You can't go, but he's like, fuck you, I'll do what I want.
Gives him a week off to take a break.
To take some priest time.
Yeah, but where do they go? Pope Island?
There's no such place as Pope Island.
Isn't that the Vatican?
Yeah, that is true.
Go on Pope Island, where the nuns run around with bikinis on. French manicures.
Nothing says hot like a nun with a French manicure.
I think you made that one up.
Yeah.
All right. So he goes there anyways. He climbs all the way to the top without problem. Like, it seemed like that guy who fell to his death had done it before, but yeah. Richard Burton's like, hey, I'm a priest. I got fucking mountain climbing skills. Or I've got the willpower of faith inside me. Whatever. He gets up to the top.
He does.
And inside is a fucking party.
Yeah.
There's like 60 dudes in there.
It's the same guys
dancing.
That were up there the last
right,
time.
But they're like, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, that was
strobe
happening.
Strobe light.
It's like the sweetest church ever.
Yeah.
And he gets hit in the face with like one of those whips.
One of those whips?
Like the tassel whips.
Oh, that the kid used to repel locusts?
Yeah, like he's trying to make his way
or
through.
Or like nipple tassels.
He gets hit right in the fucking head with one. And he's like, argh! And he like, you can totally see him like jerk back like, you fucking asshole, just hit me with that.
Yeah, man, calm your party down. Aren't you guys tired after climbing vertically for 600 feet?
Yeah, and now we are going to be introduced to one of the most sacred rites in all of religion. This thing went south in a hurry. It's supposed to be really heavy scene with this, like, they're going to take sacrament in the sky, but they got a chubby gingerbread man. Like, hey, body of Christ, how about this chubby gingerbread man instead? Look at his belly, he's so chubby.
Partake of the holy cookie.
Yeah, it's a fucking cookie. And the guy that eats the first piece of the cookie barfs. He runs off, he's like, oh, this cookie is terrible. This is yuck. This is a yuck cookie. And then Richard Burton eats it and then pounds some wine and he's all right.
And they're like, hey, buddy, it's a sip, not the whole glass.
Mountaineering's thirsty work.
So, and he's like, all right, I want to see the abbot. I ate your holy cookie. I need to see the abbot and ask him about where this fucking bug guy is. And the abbot's like, oh, who the fuck are you? And so Richard Burton's like, well, believe it or not, I had this vision quest where I was on the back of a bug and I came here and now I'm actually here.
Sure.
And to prove it to you, I know where that dead guy is. Let's go.
And they say, well, you can't because we've looked everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And they point down. And like visibly speaking, you can really only see about 5 degrees from where they're at.
Right.
and he would have had to have fallen in that 5 degrees. And like in the shot, Richard Burton says, no, he's not straight down. He's just over to the left. Implying that they did not look everywhere. Right. In fact, they looked in one spot, right. Maybe, yeah. Because the everywhere would be more than just what you can see from up there.
Yeah, so they all climb down, and sure enough, this guy's still, his little bones are wedged in between the rock where he smashed into earlier.
Yeah.
And Richard Burton's like, boom, shakalaka. What you think now, Abbott? And the Abbott's like, you're a devil worshiper.
Yep. Throw some rocks at him, people.
You suck.
I love this part.
Yeah.
They try to stone him.
Why does he think he's a devil worshiper?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, because I guess he teamed up with the devil to find this dead dude, I guess.
He asked him a question, got an answer like, oh, you were cooperating.
Yeah.
No collusion. Not with bugs.
So he's like, fuck, well, that went south. Now I really don't know where to look. But he goes to this French lady's hut, and she's like, hey.
Here's Ned Beatty.
I found Ned Beatty for you. He knows where shit's at.
Yeah.
And he's got a cross, and he's like, hi, I'm Ned Beatty.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know where the things are at, like this cross.
Then they go to fly to Cuckoo Cattoo.
Yep, exactly.
And
he is the walrus.
They're spraying for bugs.
Uh-huh. And Locus,
and Beatty is flying under the spray.
Right.
Lift her up a bit, bud. You won't die from it.
Getting real sprayed there.
He's like, oh, they think the DDT is going to work on these, but it doesn't. Well, it might work on you, so elevate.
Yeah.
You know, I think you guys are skipping over one of the most important parts of of the scene here.
Sure.
Is when he's being pelted with the rocks, Linda Blair also feels the rocks.
Oh, we forgot that tap dancing.
And she was tap dancing to Broadway or whatever with those weird kids behind her.
There's off-Broadway, and then there's off-off-Broadway. She's tap dancing so far off-Broadway, she's in Rhode Island at a truck stop.
She's in sunny Des Moines.
Oh, God, this tap. I don't even.
Is it?
If this is the tap dancing that you can come up with, don't put it in the movie.
But yeah, have her do a sexy dance or something. But like, why? Or have her play the piano, whatever. Why is she having a recital at all? And who are these people that she's teamed up with to have the recital? And who are these people that are watching this tap dancing recital?
I think it's a school function.
What school?
She doesn't seem to be in school. She just is in tap
and
dancing.
Psycho lab experiments.
Hmm. Either way, I thought it was funny when she pretended to get hit in the head with a rock.
Yeah. Yeah, she spazzes out.
And then she collapses, you know, and they take her back to the underground spooky thing.
They're still in sync from when the time they got hooked up by the strobe light machine.
Well, now she can just use the powers of the strobe light machine without.
Correct.
Because after she falls down
uh-huh.
and wonders if her chances of Broadway will ever be fulfilled, which the answer is no, she then is able to communicate directly with Richard Burton.
Yeah, well, sort of.
Well, she goes back into Pazuzu.
Yeah, well, all right. So, meanwhile, Richard Burton has been dropped off by Ned Beatty, and Ned Beatty's like, go ask these guys. And so he goes over there and asks these guys, hey, I'm looking for Kokomo. And they're like, oh, we got Kokomo. Come over here. I'll show you Kokomo, all right. It's a hooker.
It's a hooker.
With her boobs out.
She's hot. And he's like, no. Runs off.
Not that Kokomo.
And they all laugh at him. That's really all that happens. Yeah. Is that like this right. whole scene is just Richard Burton saying no to a hooker and then getting made fun of by the locals.
So now he's out of leads. He can't find shit. And he's like, God help me. Okay, I gave it a 2 count. God, you didn't help me. So I'm gonna go to Pazuzu. Pazuzu, hello. Pazuzu, are you there? King of the air spirits. And Pazuzu's like, yep, that's me. I'm here. I'm inside of Linda Blair back in the States. What's up? Who is it?
Oh, my God.
Just go over there. And he's like, okay. And he does.
But now he's been tainted by the wings of Pazuzu.
Well, she's switched sides, I guess.
Burton switched sides or Pazuzu?
Burton. I don't think Pazuzu can switch sides.
He seems to be on the sides that's not in Pazuzu's interest because he's like, yeah, the guy that can kill me that you're trying to find, right over there.
Yeah.
Check him out. He's dressed like a cricket. Jiminy.
this was probably the best costume that they had throughout this entire movie. Was
shirt was James Earl Jones with a bug head.
Yeah. With a bug head, because, you know, when he tip it down and they look like they had crystals for eyes.
It looks
and
like shit.
Then, you know, it looked like actual, you know, the head looked like it was actually made out of
cricket.
Cricket.
It's real live bug stuff.
I thought he looked cool.
I don't think he looks cool. It looks cool like when you do that when you're wearing like a bear on your head or like a lion or fuck a couple snakes, right? You know, I mean, yeah. James Earl Jones done that a couple times. Wearing a bug on your head is dumb. It never is cool.
All hail the grasshopper.
Bugs aren't cool. I mean, that's the end of the story. There's sharks. Sharks are fucking cool. Dinosaurs? Dinosaurs are cool. Bugs are dumb.
What if they were giant ants?
Stupid.
Okay. What about a guy shirtless with a cricket on his head?
Lamer.
Yeah, that's what we got here.
Yeah. I think this is the best looking costume. No. Anything Linda Blair's wearing is the best looking costume. All right. So anyways, he's like, yes, I will defeat Pazuzu, but you must pass the test of the pokey floor.
The pokey floor.
Come to me and we'll team up and I'll say some stuff to Pazuzu like, piss off.
Yeah. Prove your faith, and he steps on the pokey floor, and it goes through his foot, and it's yucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to your shoes?
Yeah. Where did his shoes?
He just doesn't have shoes anymore.
Maybe the people that were introduced him to the horror, he was like, we'll show you Kabuku, and it's going to cost you your shoes, and he paid up front.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
I don't think so. That seems like a bad deal.
Well, I think it was a bad deal all the way around.
Unless they were wingtips.
He's like, I'll give you the right one, and I'll give you the left one once you show me.
Yeah, right. Kabuzu. 50% down.
Yeah. And then when that didn't happen, they just pushed him over and took the other shoe.
Yeah. Okay. So he doesn't poke through the floor. Maybe he does. I don't know.
I think it's all in his mind.
It's in his mind because then he's instantly teleported or wasn't he's now in a science lab where James Earl Jones Kabuku is a scientist who's experimenting on locusts.
Yes, we're finally here.
Yes.
He says grasshoppers.
Whatever.
So they are just grasshoppers. There's okay. A locust later. He's like, well, this locust will help. But the other ones they're just grasshoppers.
Yeah, this is the calming locust. And as long as this one is introduced into a swarm of them, they will continue just to be happy grasshoppers.
The good one.
The good one.
So is he kombucha?
Yeah.
Kombucha?
Well, I mean, is he the boy?
Yeah, he is. He says so.
So he just went to, like, Stanford or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to science school and was like, hey.
Science school.
Fuck that.
So he's not a bug guy living in a potato cave?
Nope, he is not.
All right. So Pazuzu was fucking with him?
I think he's fucking with himself.
I think he has heat exhaustion and is imagining this shit.
He got hit in the head with a rock.
That's true.
He's concussed.
He might need to see a doctor.
Yeah, it's hot outside. He got hit several times with some rocks. And I think he fell through the front door of this lab. Yeah, and they were like, hey.
Guy.
And he's like, are you Kabuku? And he's like, yeah. Come look at my grasshoppers, you fucking weirdo.
You need some medical attention. How'd you like to hear about grasshoppers instead?
Bugs.
Yeah.
All right, so Reagan wakes up because she's been pumped full of drugs after the incident, the tap dancing recital, and she bails. She grabs the strobe light on the way out and goes to the museum.
Yeah.
And he's back in the States now.
And he's got a red shirt on, so you know he's evil.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. He's basically just dressed like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, which means he's evil.
Okay.
Oh, I thought he was just still on sabbatical.
He's not dressed like a priest anymore.
He's not a priest.
He's on vacation.
He's touched the wings of Pazuzu.
Yeah, and he's on vacation.
That is also true. He is on leave.
Then he should have probably had sex with that hooker.
Well, I don't know. What was the price?
His shoes.
I mean,
that's
it
a good deal. Unless they were wingtips.
It is Africa in 1977.
That's fine.
Pretty hefty price to pay. You know what's around the corner, right?
That's later.
That's not later.
Yeah.
Dude, they had it. They were rampant with it in 77.
Yeah, right.
It hit us later. Yeah. Sorry, Africa.
You know,
sorry, our fucking president didn't try to help you guys.
You know what I thought was great was when I was growing up.
Speaking of Reagans,
that people got AIDS because somebody had sex with a monkey.
That's right. Yeah, we already covered this on a previous episode.
I thought it was from not using a straw.
Yeah, right. Or drinking fountains.
Yeah.
Fucking Nancy. Goddamn.
Staring contests Reagan, with people of different bitches.
Races. Michael Dukakis would have changed some shit. He lost. Anyways.
He took a joyride in a tank like a dickhead.
Yeah, he sure did.
I love this tank.
He also had some mega eyebrows, man. Wow. All right, so where are we? He's back in the States. They're at the museum. They're teaming up. She's like, oh, hey, I got the strobe light. Let's go. And so they got a...
they go to a roach motel and use it. Like, they can't just go back to her apartment, I guess. And then they decide they have to go back to the house?
Well, it's like Max von Sydow overloads it because they see him and he gives Richard Burton a fucking Obi-Wan message like, you must protect her. I am more powerful now than ever and you're only a master of evil and your shirt is, it's cool, but I mean, come on, man. Think of the children. No, I mean, wait, no, whoops, didn't mean to say that right there. Back that one up.
But if you are going to wear a flamey shirt, you shouldn't button it all the way up to the top.
Yeah, right. Let the plumage come out, buddy.
Yeah.
And that's when the machine breaks, when the machine's like, so sexy. So they bail, and...
He doesn't listen. He's like, fuck that, I'm Bazuzu now.
Right. Oh, yeah, he goes into a trance.
But he's not Bazuzu, because Bazuzu's Bazuzu later.
Right.
So what is he?
I don't know.
He's just like a Bazuzu lover.
I guess maybe the strobe light machine like had a feedback loop or something and maybe scrambled his bits. He may be concussed
I think he's probably still concussed.
Yeah.
Man has heat stroke.
Hey.
Yeah, he needs to go to the doctor. Not one that's a doctor of grasshoppers either.
Right,
medical doctor.
So Nurse Ratchet's all pissed. She's like, they stole the machine and she's in danger. So let's get on a fucking plane. Sharon, the assistant and also caretaker of
Nanny, I guess.
Reagan. I don't know.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to take a bath and you can kind of see my boobs, too.
Why? She's not even. She comes out of a room and she's dressed like she was. I don't know.
It was just...
It's a boob shot.
It's
for no
a boob
reason.
Shot for no reason. Yeah, that's all there is to it.
So you're going to track them down on a plane. They're flying back to D.C. where Reagan's previous house was. Burton and Linda Blair are on a train, and Richard Burton kind of looks out the window of the train and sees an airplane in the sky, and so Bazuzu's like, I'm going to fuck with this airplane a little bit. Shake it up. Bzzz. But I think Richard Burton fights him off with the power of his mind.
No, that's not what happens. They're in a train.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I need a ticket. So she gets into his pockets and he comes awake and lets the conductor know that she is his personal property. And the conductor's like,
this is my chattel.
That makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
It is 1977. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor and the nanny are in a car, and they see a car accident.
No, you're missing the whole plane incident.
Yeah, he stares out the window, and he can see the plane, and he knows that they're on it, so he's like, I gotta do something.
Yeah, they're not on the plane yet.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Well, then we skipped the part where they had the accident.
No, we didn't. They have the accident at Reagan's house, you ding-dong.
No, there's a car accident, and the guy's like, help me. And then they get out of the car, and she's like, I'm a doctor, and I'm like, no, you're a psychologist.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. So she gets out of the car. They stop the car. And then the nanny's like, you stupid asshole. We just need to keep driving.
Uh-huh.
And then she tries to help this guy that got hit by a car. And she can't because she's a psychiatrist. And then it cuts to Richard Burton looking at the plane. And they're just on the plane.
Right. And he's shaking it like a fucking.
I don't remember that. I think he just goes like. Argh.
Yeah, the plane almost crashes. And then I think the power of his mind stopped. I don't fucking know. Okay. Anyways, everybody lands. Everybody gets to Reagan's house. It's like a fucking race to get there.
Sure.
They go inside. Reagan's like, oh, what's going on? Let's go upstairs. And Burton's like, I'm leading the way. And he opens up the door and fucking locusts fly out and fucking sting his face.
Grasshoppers get in his mouth and he falls down.
Yeah, right. The cab driver that they're in, like, his car goes, his windshield shatters for some reason.
They just have crazy town inside this cab.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. It's just like,
they're spinning Brody's in the fucking middle of a street without crashing.
They just start jostling about. And they're like, oh, whoa, whoa. Like, the bugs in the house are so powerful that they're shaking a cab down the street. Shaking it.
Yeah.
So the cab driver's like, fuck it. And he punches a hole in the windshield. Right? And then looks through it and sees where he's supposed to be going. And he's like, I've always gotten everybody there. And then drives through the fence.
He crashes the cab into his destination.
Into the destination.
Which is, the cab has been possessed by the devils.
It's being shaken by grasshoppers. And then the cab comes apart.
He's such a good cabbie.
The cab comes apart. He dies.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He's killed by the steering wheel.
In pieces.
The cab sort of comes apart, and then the fence comes inside of it and traps the doctor.
Right.
So she's in the back seat of the cab, but trapped by the fence.
So I'm going to ask a question right here.
Yeah.
Why did they have barbed wire on the top of that fence?
Well, it's a condemned building.
It's razor wire. That's right, because What's-Her-Face has to break in, and she loses her velour warm-up.
Right.
Because she got too amorous, which... once again proves discretion is the better part of velour.
Oh, no. You really like that one. I wish they could see your face right now. Okay, no. And Sharon, the caretaker, I guess she gets kind of possessed after the car crash because she walks outside. She sees the gas line is spilling out gas everywhere and there's a headlight next to it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't stop myself.
From burning myself.
She steps on the car's headlight, which causes the gas to catch on fire.
And then she burns. Not the doctor. She just was like, I'm evil now. I'm going to burn me in front of you.
Or is it Pazuzu stopping her? Like, taking possession and be like, oh, you're crispy now.
I don't know.
What
does Pazuzu even do? Because the next time we see Pazuzu... is the Linda Blair splits in half.
Right.
So there's two of her now.
Right. There's one in bed as if she's Reagan from the first one with Grossface.
Grossface.
And then there's Linda Blair, the adult woman, who is like, hello, you, me?
Yeah, but it's definitely not Linda Blair. It's some other person.
Right. But then it does turn into Linda Blair because she gets sexy.
Yeah, because then they're like, okay, she can't show up for makeup, so we'll do the bone down scene instead.
Yeah, and she's like, come on in here, she's Lamont. Like, I'm hot.
So now Pazuzu's like, okay,
bugs.
Gone for a while.
Uh-huh.
Just bone me, preacher, and then that's going to make something happen?
I don't know.
The cycle of evil will be complete. Put your wiener in me.
So, was it good for you?
Eh. I don't know.
Does the evil plan happen now? No, we just fucked. That's it.
Yeah.
That is it. You fucked a demon who took the shape of Linda Blair. Oh. I liked it.
I still got bugs in my mouth. I got hit in the head with a rock.
I'm a spaceman. And Linda Blair has also gotten possessed with kombucha and the Spanish lady because, like, when she says her lines, there's dubbed James Earl Jones and the Spanish lady speaking at the same time.
Sure. They're, I guess, going to help her.
They're teamed up
their
via
spirit
the power,
power
of spirits. Okay.
Hypnotism, time travel.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Pick your team. We will win. Sexy Blair or
Devil
One.
Yay.
Okay. So Lamont's wrestling with Sexy Pazuzu.
I don't think they're wrestling.
Yeah, right. Okay. And the locusts come in, start swarming the place, which causes the house to crack in half.
Yeah. And it's okay because there's a very small ledge that real Linda Blair can stand on by using the powers of tap dancing. She actually like saves herself with toe tapping here. That's why there was so much tap dancing in this movie, right, is so that she could save herself.
You got to establish her superpower earlier.
Yeah.
Tap dancing.
Tap dancing.
Jesus, tap dancing Christ. And then the demons disappear.
Wait, they Jesus tap dancing. They heard the name. Yeah, like, if you ever seen him tap dance, it's not crap, I'll tell you that much.
Did it on water. Like,
yeah. I mean, Gregory Hines might be a little better.
Oh, yeah. Might be. All right. So... So Rayan falls down the house that's cracked in half and down to the ground. I don't know how she survives, but Lamont punches the heart out of sexy Bazuzu.
He just starts punching her in the stomach not very hard while they're wrestling. And then eventually her heart comes out, and it's got like two cords coming out of it, too.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's a really crappy prop heart.
That is awful. And it's tiny, too.
Yeah, just, because it's got it in his fist. Yeah, so
fist is closed, and there's a heart inside
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Well, that's how the Grinch stole Christmas.
Tosses it over his shoulder.
I don't need that.
And then she, like, falls. Doesn't disappear, yeah, like...
I don't know.
She became corporeal?
I don't know what happens.
And Linda Blair, and he pulls her heart out, and then she falls off the bed into the bottom floor of the house.
Which is now collapsing. Uh-huh.
She can't tap dance because she doesn't have a heart, so she's unable to save herself.
But she was on the bed anyways. You can't tap dance on a bed.
Or you can sure as hell try.
Anyways, Rayan gets on the ground somehow. She then uses the power of the African sling that Kumbuko used to fight the locust, but he failed at fighting the locust because he was eventually possessed by Bazuzu while he was using that sling whirly thing.
She doesn't have anything
in her
hand.
She doesn't even have anything in her hand.
She's just dancing still.
Yeah, and the locusts are like, oh, fuck this shit. We're out of here.
You're like, that's some terrible tap dancing. We're out.
We're going to go back to being grasshoppers all over the ground.
Yeah, she kills
and then
them
we're going to fade away.
Well, they don't die. They just calm down.
Oh.
She calms them down with the power
because
of dance.
Because she's the good one.
But then the folk music comes on and disappears them.
Yeah.
Right. And then a bunch of fucking words that don't mean anything.
The back of the house is open to, like, some other place.
Well, yeah, like a portal in time.
It's like L.A. back there.
Yeah, right.
And
well,
then
that's portal in time.
So they are like, okay... Richard Burton and
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair just fuck off.
Go take her someplace. And they leave. Credits. That's it.
Yeah. I guess there is the what's her face. The doctor's like, the world's not ready for this. And I'm like, not ready for what?
Exorcist 3. That's for goddamn sure.
They weren't ready for that until 1990. 13 years later.
Yeah, right. Mm. Oof. All right, who wants to go first on some fucking questions?
I do.
What just happened?
My first question is, what the hell am I supposed to ask?
During questions here?
Yeah, like, what am I... I mean, this is so ambiguous that it's like, I can't ask about something because I don't even know what the thing is to ask about.
Let me put it this way. Here's your answer. If this movie was as fun as Dreamcatcher, we would be doing a two-parter, and we'd be making this part of Nonsensical November rather than Spooktober, because it's nonsensical.
It doesn't.
We have to try to infer so fucking much of what's going on, and then even that doesn't line up. There's no way to make sense of this fucking movie.
No, because I think the big question would be... What is Bazuzu's end game?
He's a failed demon. That's the only explanation. Like, you are fired. Like, this is... Get him out of fucking hell. I'm serious. I'm done with this guy. I am fucking done with Bazuzu. Get him out of here. Bazuzu, you got to go up to Earth.
You
That's
go
just
to
your
Earth.
Thing now, dude.
Yeah, you got to... Heaven won't take you. We don't want you. I guess he bought the Cleveland Browns.
Right, right. Yeah. The only way it makes sense is that Bazuzu sucks as a demon.
Well, and if you're a demon, why would you possess a little kid? I mean, you could have so much fun in a human body.
Right.
And do all kinds of things. Buy the Browns. You know, open a Studio 54 and have your personal playground in there. do a bunch of coke as, you know, but you'd have to do this as an adult. Why would you do that as a little kid?
Demon possession does not make sense.
It doesn't. If you buy the brownie, I mean, you're torturing an entire city for, what, 20 years now?
Right.
Yeah, see, that makes more sense.
Yeah, but instead, I'm going to possess this pregnant Spanish lady because whatever. Because I'm Pazuzu and I'm dumb. No, possession's dumb. It's dumb. The whole thing's dumb, guys. It's not a real thing. Yeah, I'm out of questions.
Yeah, me too. No questions here. I answered
the last one was where do they go, but it just looks like L.A.
I don't know. It implies that he takes her away from all of it.
To
L.A.?
To L.A.? Yeah. Like
back to her nice high-rise apartment in New York?
I don't know. That place isn't safe, so no. Yeah. Here's a question. Final recommendation. I'm going to assume three do nots. But yep. So let's find out. Jackie, you go first.
Do not.
Okay, Sammy.
Oh, it's a rare do not. I had to sit up at the end of it. I was so tired of watching that I was actually my body was trying to leave the room.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful. It's torture. It's borderline torture. It sucks.
It was so boring.
It sucks.
It is really on par with Borman's other just complete fucking disaster, too, which is too bad because he has so many fun movies, but Excalibur is this boring as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a snooze fest, and man. But it doesn't make any sense, so if you're up for trying to decipher it as a fan of the show, I know Jack's going to watch it. I know.
Sorry,
and some of the other guys are. For it, because maybe you can help us out here. But as the casual film goer,
people threw shit at the screen.
Yeah.
A mob chased producers. That's how disappointing this thing was.
Yeah, it's a pile of shit.
So which one's better?
Of The Exorcist?
The Midnight Man or The Exorcist, The Heretic? I'm saying the listeners should just weigh in on these two. Which one is better? I'm going with The Midnight Man.
Well, it's shorter.
It's shorter.
Midnight Man.
That's Midnight Man. But at the same time, it doesn't do anything. And this one had a guy falling real bad.
And I got to look at Linda Blair all for 2 hours. There was,
yeah, so I'll sound in on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's a late bloomer. She looked too young for me in this. Like,
oh, she's got that pudgy face. Well, she had that pudgy face for another 10 years. Man.
But just like. She looks like a kid still.
Okay.
Like she, when she's 30.
Oh, yeah.
Good night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wowie, wow. But right. She doesn't look 30. When she's 30, she looks like 22 or something like that, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's that. We got some listener feedback. Starting with an email from new listener Amon.
Hello, Amon.
Or old listener who is new at communicating. I don't know.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah.
Hello. Amon.
Amon says, Sam's voice is a tad deeper this episode, the Midnight Man episode. I didn't notice. I went back and listened. Sounds like a cold new mic. All I could think about was hearing a full podcast like half an octave lower, and I couldn't stop laughing at myself. So I had to listen to it twice.
Oh. Because you're a freak, Sam.
If that's the case, Sam, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
I do it a lot, actually. I don't know if other people notice it. Sometimes I do I just fall into, like, pretending to be Patrick Warburton for, like, half a podcast. And I just start talking like this. Yeah, it's like when I'm imitating the people who I think are dickheads, then I will, in fact, use this voice instead.
He also goes on and says, also, I was a ditch kid for about 2 hours once.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew it.
Until we saw a snake and realized we could just go to the backyard. I did get stuck in an overturned boxcar once, so ditch kid isn't too far-fetched.
Yeah. See, ditch kid is a real thing.
Yes, indeed. I guess so.
Thank you, Amon.
Because
Amon.
One other person was a ditch kid for a couple hours, and then he realized ditch kid was lame.
And it was an innocent thing. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
Tawdry.
You play in the ditch. That's all that means.
We also got a new voicemail from Speak of the Devil, Jack. Here he is.
Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. It's Jack again. So I just got back from seeing the new Halloween, which really good movie, by the way, but that's not the point here. One of the movies in the credits, one of the trailers I saw was for a movie that you guys have done before, being remade a la A Star Is Born.
Potential Academy Award winning.
2019. Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary!
Yeah, I heard about this.
I don't know why. It's the same thing as A Star Is Born. Sam mentioned this. You know, who is clamoring for this? Who wants this? I have no idea. But, yeah, so it's coming with its tagline, sometimes dead is better. I just wish they could have said the same about the movie and just left well enough alone.
Indeed.
The one person of note, taking Fred Gwynn's place as Judd Crandall, John Lithgow.
Of course. Of course, so, it's Lithgow.
I don't know. It'll probably be bad, but I thought I'd let you guys know that that movie is coming.
Yeah.
So, have a great day and get to the chopper.
I think we will definitely be field tripping Pet Sematary. There's not a chance.
Yeah, I think John Lithgow is the wrong choice.
Well, I think it's the right choice if you want to make it bad.
Yeah. Right. I think Jack's right. The decision has already been made to make it bad because they are making Pet Sematary. Mm. There's no way you can make Pet Sematary good.
No. Whereas apparently A Star Is Born, I think anything that Lady Gaga touches turns to gold.
It's a front runner right now for Best Picture. So
yeah, I really want to see that. I was excited that they remade it, and I was really surprised that they casted Lady Gaga.
Why?
She's
a superstar.
I know, but I don't know. It's just the whole look from the first one.
She's way more attractive than Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that because it's rude. But, you know, Lady Gaga is so glamorous. And
she's
so wonderful. She's just a wonderful
person.
She's
not just a superstar. What would you say? What would you describe? She's intergalactic is what I would put Lady Gaga as.
Yeah. So I was really interested in seeing that. And
it's supposed to be good.
I really do want to watch that one.
I'm not looking forward to it at all because...
I just don't like musicals.
Yeah. All right, we've got some streaming do's and don'ts this week. Staying in line with Spooktober. Starting with, on Amazon Prime, Jamie Lee Curtis and Leslie Nielsen. What? In 1977's Prom Night. Same year as this piece of shit. Two busty
ladies. Michael Crichton's wife.
Okay.
She was a sledgehammer. What's her name? Sledgehammer's awesome.
It is awesome, but you're just, again, like three or four people. Like, oh, yeah, Michael Crichton's wife from Sledgehammer.
Yeah. Well, she's the other person of note besides Jamie Lee Curtis, because I accuse this movie of not really having Leslie Nielsen in it.
Right. Prom Night sucks. Like, wow, I didn't think it was going to be this bad. There's a cult following behind Prom Night.
I'm not sure why. It's boring as hell.
It is boring as hell.
And the murder scenes are not even that good.
It's not even a slasher movie until there's 20 minutes left of it.
The slashing, once it gets there, that's not terrible, but it took so long to get there that it can't be redeemed.
It's kind of a teen dance party movie up until that point.
Yeah.
Just bitchy drama back and forth for an hour and 10 minutes.
Yep.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Prom Night. Is a do not from me.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Nah, do not.
It's a do not from Jackie. Well, I guess we already know that Jackie doesn't actually like horror movies, so yeah.
Whatever.
Fantasy nerd. yeah, so, and then Sam and I had to shot chaser that.
Yeah.
With 1996's Leslie Nielsen movie, Spy Hard, which was a massive failure.
I thought that they were talking about this being like a career ender for anybody involved.
Right.
It was so bad.
Well, don't forget that Leslie Nielsen was not a spring chicken at the point.
At that point, but he still managed to do a couple afterwards.
Oh, so. Yeah. He's worked for another 10 years.
Yeah.
Some of it's VOD, but.
And we did have a friend who was like upset for weeks having seen this in the theater and it not being a Naked Gun movie.
And
it was so bad. However, it wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And I had a couple, probably three or four solid laughs in this
thing. Oh, there's, I would argue that there's 10 solid good jokes in this film.
Yeah, they had me laughing a couple of times very hard in Spy Hard.
Yeah,
I was very surprised.
It's not near as shitty as, it's not for everyone. It is not for everyone. I think it takes a special type of mind to appreciate Spy Hard. It's definitely stupid. And like, but there's a point where you've seen so much stupid that if a movie can go beyond stupid in stupidity, then it's for me, and that's why it works for me.
There was, it's like, 4 feet is too stupid, 6 feet is just god awful, but then 10 feet becomes so stupid that it's funny again.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this thing was, is it managed to be funny again, even though it was just so damn dumb.
So damn dumb. If you're that type of person, I give it a do for sure.
It's you just can't walk into it thinking it's going to be a Naked Gun movie, because it is not.
It's even in its stupidity, the comedy is not. I mean, of course it's not Naked Gun. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about? Oh, it's not Naked Gun. Of course it's not fucking Naked Gun.
Yeah, but I mean, they bill it. When they sold this movie, they're selling you like it's going to be another Naked Gun.
Why? Because it's got Leslie Nielsen and a slapstick.
And it's copying.
Yeah, it's a spoof. Thing.
Yeah, but that's why it's packaged to the... That's why people went and saw it and they were pissed. Not as pissed to say as the ones that... chased the producers out of the Chicago Film Critic Association screening of Exorcist 2, but they were very upset because they were being sold that this was going to be another Naked Gun, and it was not.
Yeah, it's not. And that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't have to be. It can be a good 6 out of 10 stars, and that's what I think it is. I liked it.
It was fun.
Didn't see it.
Nope. Thanks, Jackie, for weighing in on that one. So Spy Hard on Netflix, check that out. On Amazon Prime, back to that, and back to our spooky Spooktober, Jackie and I decided to delve into another cult classic, widely respected in the cult circles, film from 1983 called Sleepaway Camp, which pretty much I think everybody's seen.
I think everyone's seen Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
I think most people have seen both of them, the one and two. There's like four, though, I thought.
There's only the three, though, I know of. Maybe there's a fourth. I don't know, but I know that there's three for sure. Jackie and I had both seen Sleepaway Camp already, but I think it had been 20 years since I saw it, so I wanted to revisit it for some time. So we checked it out. Jackie, what were your thoughts on the revisit?
I thought it was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The death scenes could have been better, but
well, I thought that they were actually impressive.
The ones that I thought were done really well,
mm-hmm.
the cook who gets the water and all the boils and stuff that come up on his skin.
Yep.
And then the kid that gets drowned underneath the canoe and the snake comes out of his mouth and they find the body.
Yeah, that's a dummy that they made. And I thought it's one of the best looking film dummies of all time. It looks like a person and it's not. And I thought when at the end where she, I mean, yeah, where Angela bites off her boyfriend's head. Is that what happens?
I don't know whether it was a head bite off or. Oh, fuck. That scared the shit out of
me. It's Angela behind you.
Oh, my God. Dogs, get out of the curtains. Scared the crap out of me.
Ooh, Spooktober. Did you have a little spook poop right there?
I did. That was actually, that is the scariest thing that I have seen this month. Was I actually thought somebody was standing right there, and it scared the shit out of me.
Got attacked by our podcast curtains, our our sound mufflers.
Goddamn dogs. Okay. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Angela. At the end.
At the end.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed pretty hard at this because
it's super stupid.
Her head is very much superimposed on somebody else's body.
Right.
And the look on her face is supposed to be scary, but it's just so damn
She's
retarded.
Pulling a vampire.
Yeah.
And she's covered in blood from the neck down. How did that guy's head come off?
Did she chew it off?
But then she would have blood all over her mouth.
I don't know.
But she's covered in blood from the neck down. It's like her neck chewed the guy's head off. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, let's not spoil it, because maybe there is a couple people out there that haven't seen Sleepaway Camp. I'm going to give it a do.
Yeah.
I think it's super required viewing. It's silly, and it's a slasher. And like, it's before... The Friday series got good, but it's basically, you know, a knockoff of Camp Crystal Lake type shit with a pretty serious twist to it. And there's some funny parts to it. The kids are just assholes to each other. There's some pranks that are like, and then I thought the death scenes the makeup is great.
In the first three. I think you're right. There's only three of them, but the deaths are the best in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kids are more dickheaded in the second one.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I think I actually like two the best out of all of them, but I think they're all dues.
Jackie, what do you got?
Oh, I'm totally going to give this a due.
Okay.
And mostly for the pranks.
Yeah.
That the kids pull on each other.
They're such dicks to each other.
And I'm like, dude, the next party that we throw, we're totally doing that to somebody.
I hope
somebody
not.
Who's really into, like...
being a prick?
No, just like, oh, you know, the spirits are guiding me through the magical elf journey, and we're going to totally do that mind over body thing to them.
Okay, yeah, because we invite those type of people. Anyways.
We'll find one to invite this year.
You're going to do seance bullshit?
Yeah.
No.
That's I know what
you should
do.
Saying. Actually, you should do a seance, and then I'll hide. Uh-huh. I'm not going to jump out.
Uh-huh.
What I'm going to do is we're going to have, like, those like sheet things spread out everywhere where it looks like all spooky in that, but I'm going to have all your dogs up top in like a blanket. And when the seance starts, we just drop the dogs on people.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty weird. All three of them are on Prime right now. So expect Jackie and I to get through that and talk about all three of them by the big day on Halloween. So there you go, Sam, it's your pick next week. What would you like to choose for
Spooktober? You know, I was going to gamble and not to do it, but since we've just hit two turds so solidly, I feel like the safe play is Howling 2.
Howling 2? My sister is a werewolf!
Yeah, with a subtitle like that, how can you go wrong? It'll probably be just as shitty.
I've heard nothing but good things about this movie, and that's the only Howling that Jackie and I have not seen.
Oh.
So that is something to say. So there you go. That's also streaming on Amazon Prime right now. So check that out this week, fans. Write to us, talkatsecretmadness.com. Tell us your stories about being a ditch kid or biting someone's head off. Literally. Or Linda Blair. I'm always good with Linda Blair stories. And
I think that those stories all end the same way.
Yeah, they do.
They just ran out of Kleenexes again.
I need to get a notebook and I can't stand up. I love you, Jackie. You're a beautiful woman as well.
All those dented trapper keepers.
Get to the chopper. Visit us at www.stinkermadness.com. Follow Stinker Madness on Twitter at Stinker Madness. Please rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for listening, and get to the chopper.